What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
This is Joe Scheidler, and as I promised you on my last program, we're going to have a fantastic guest on today, Monica Miarino Miller. Monica and I have been friends for so long, I don't want to even try to think back to the beginning, but I remember one time Monica and I had a long ride. I think it was some city, maybe Cleveland, I don't know for sure, but Monica at that time was supporting, I hate to say this, Monica, she's on the line, women priests. And so I explained in detail why women could not be priests, and the next thing I knew, Monica had an article in The Wonder all about why women shouldn't be priests. You remember that, Monica?
Vaguely, yeah. I wouldn't say I was exactly in favor. I think I was open to the idea. I'm going to make a little bit of a distinction there.
Okay. Well, anyway, this is Monica on the line, and Monica has been in pro-life for forever. She was just a young girl when I first met her out in front of Concord Medical Center, abortion mill in Chicago. And we did a lot of interesting things together. And Monica's a teacher. She's a theologian. She's a doctor. She just has so many, and she has beautiful children. But Monica has written a book called Abandon, and it's been called the best pro-life book written. And I want to introduce Monica and let her say a few things about her book, because it is just so good. We use it as a premium. We have them stacked all over our office, and I give it to people right and left, because she captures the essence of abortion, abandonment of a human being. Mon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's really an honor to be with you. And you and I met in 1978.
Okay.
1978, I was 24 years old.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I was pretty young when you and I first met. And I do have to say that you have had, as you already well know, an enormous influence on my life. And I even partially dedicate my book to you.
I was grateful with it, yes, thanks.
Yeah, the book is dedicated to Joe, who set me on the path, and for Edmund, who came with me, and then Edmund, of course, being my husband, Edmund Miller. So both of us, I guess you could say, are certainly veterans of the abortion wars, and I did decide to write one of the few, it may be the only so far, real history of pro-life activism, told, of course, from somebody who has actually been down in the trenches with you and with a lot of other pro-lifers. The book chronicles pro-life activism from 1976 through the year of 1994, so almost a 20-year period. And the publisher is Saint Benedict Press. That would be a press that you're pretty familiar with, because your book is coming out in just a few months, I believe. So we have a lot to we give a lot of credit to our publisher, Saint Benedict Press. I think having the intestinal fortitude, if you will, to publish our work. My book Abandoned, the Untold Story of the Abortion Wars, I'm going to say is kind of a controversial book. I mean, it talks about abortion, I think, in a way that you usually don't see, committed to print. The book itself opens with the most disturbing episode, where back in 1987 we discovered the remains of aborted babies who were being tossed out in the trash dumpster behind the Michigan Avenue Medical Center in Chicago. And of course, Joe, you and I both were involved in those retrievals. And in fact, so the book opens with us finding the actual broken bodies of the innocent unborn.
Monica, tell
and
us.
So the Chronicle, go ahead, Joe.
Tell our listeners where we used to meet and how this worked out. It's Blackie's. Who picked that?
Oh well, right there. There's a at the end of the chapter, the first chapter. One of your assistants at that time was Tim Murphy, and Tim now works with the Thomas More Society in Chicago. But Tim was one of those who would go to the trash dumpster almost on a weekly basis. This went on for about 2.5 months as we were finding the bodies. And Tim, I think it was a Saturday night or something like, no, it had to be in the middle of the week. Yes, it was the middle of the week. He went to the trash dumpster by himself. He retrieved the box. By this time, we knew what we were looking for,
right.
Joe. And he retrieved the box. And Edmund and I were involved in doing the photography. We did a lot of the photography of the victims of abortion.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to point people to the website that we have, Joe, that's dedicated to abortion victim photography. And that would be imagesofabortion.com. And we have over 350 photographs mounted there in different galleries from the different clinics, the different dumpsters, and so on. But anyway, we met. Yes, exactly right. Myself and Edmund and Peter Crump, who was also involved in the retrievals back in the day. We went to Blackie's Bar. Blackie's was a hipster's singles bar on the corner of Clark and Balboa in downtown Chicago. And this has got to be really a totally one of the most absurd things ever. So there we are. We're waiting in the bar, and in walks Tim Murphy with a large brown bag. And he puts the bag down on the table where we were sitting. And in that bag was indeed the box of the victims of abortion that he had retrieved that week. And I just thought, this is absolutely so absurd. Here we are in this bar with, you know, young people, and they're drinking and they're playing pinball games and they're laughing and they're joking and they're having a fun time. And here it is in the middle of that gaiety was this terrible secret in a way, flung into the middle of that environment, and it was also so incongruous, the reality of the violence of what had happened to those babies, right, you know, because nobody knew, and that was the thing, nobody knew what was in that bag except us.
That's right.
You know, and I felt that those babies, they kind of were burdened by the secret of their death. And that only we knew about it. So that's how the book opens with that particular episode.
You know, it's just beautifully done. And, of course, I got permission from you and the publisher all to use a description because you tell a lot of things. You tell about the time you spent in jail. You tell about the people you met there and the conversations. You tell about the trials, that you had to go up to Milwaukee, and all the things that happened back in those days. And it's just intriguing. And I remember when your book was about twice the size it ended up.
Exactly. It's true. The original manuscript was over 600 pages.
I know.
So I did have to take an axe and cut out a lot of stuff to get it down to a more streamlined and a more focused narrative. People tell me, Joe, that they will read my book in 2 to 3 days.
Oh, I love your book.
And it's over 200 pages long. It's not a short book.
I've read it through twice now. And we're going to go to a little break now, Monica, and when we come back, we'll continue with discussing Abandoned.
Compassion International presents Sanctus Real, live, It's Sanctus Real, featuring Josh Wilson and special guest John Bauer. A night of music, ministry, and more. Sanctus Real in concert. It's Sanctus Real Live, featuring Josh Wilson and special guest John Bauer.
At Crosswinds Community Church in Genoa, Illinois, on November 22nd, featuring special guests Few and Toe. For more information, call 815-784-5427. Sponsored locally in part by WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
This is Joe Scheidler, the National Director of the Pro-Life Action League, headquartered in Chicago. I'm asking you to please to pray today for every woman facing a problem pregnancy that she will not choose abortion.
Hi, this is Sharon Brummer with Catholic Charities, serving people of all faiths in Southeast Wisconsin. We provide human services from adoption and pregnancy support to counseling, outreach services for people in crisis situation, in-home support for older adults. Visit us online at ccmke.org for more information and for a site close to you. That's ccmke.org.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
This is Joe Scheidler. I'm interviewing Monica Migliorino-Miller, who's the author of one of the best, and as some people say, the best pro-life book ever produced, Abandoned. And we're talking about Monica's finding of the bodies of literally thousands of babies and the burial of these babies and other activities that Monica took part in. Monica and I have been friends since she was 24, way back in 1978, and we're still very good friends, right, Monica?
Absolutely, Joe. You're you know how much I love you.
I'm going to have to dedicate my book to you and Anne, but I do appreciate that. I was really gratified when I saw that Joe, who helped you get started. But tell us now more about your book. There is. A part in there where you do have to spend some jail time. Could you explain that a little bit to our audience?
Well, the book is divided, I guess you could say, into three episodes that they all, of course, overlap each other because this is a historical narrative. But, you know, I talk about the sidewalk counseling, getting involved in sidewalk counseling, then getting involved in doing the rescues at the abortion clinics. The first time that I participated in one of those was the one that you organized, Joe, back in 1978 when we locked the doors to the Concord Medical Services, which is now happily closed. I mean, it took a while for it to close, but that was the clinic that we did a sit-in. I mean, that's what we called it back then, and blocked the doors to the procedure rooms. And then, you know, my continued growing in my own leadership. I founded Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, an activist organization. So Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, and I did a lot of the organizing of rescues at clinics, in particular in Chicago, and then again when I got to Milwaukee, because I moved to Milwaukee to study for my PhD. At Marquette. And so, you know, getting arrested, I talk about getting the rescues that we did, getting arrested, the court trials that we had, and then the jail terms that we served. And the first time I served a real jail sentence was after we had done a rescue at a clinic called Bread and Roses, which is all, I got to say, also happily closed. And then the longer jail sentence I had in 1993, I served 7 months, a jail sentence, and that was for a rescue that I had done at the Imperial Medical Services. I'm going to also say happily closed. But I do talk about in great detail what it was like to be incarcerated as a pro-lifer, and also I got to say the a lot of good came from that experience. I talked women out of abortions while I was in jail. I had the photographs of the abortion victims with me. I was allowed to bring them into the jail. I had them in my locker. And in fact, it kind of got around to my fellow inmates that, hey, that Miller, she's got photographs of aborted babies, and a lot of times the inmates would want me to show them.
Yeah, you were a popular jailmate. I know they were coming for you and asking to see the graphic pictures.
They asked to see the photos, and right. it was a remarkable moment at this one particular instance. Where I got the photos out, and we all sat down on the floor, and these women were absolutely stunned. They couldn't believe their eyes. I talk about what that meant for me to observe what I called the awakening of souls. That you know that when there's a certain expression that comes across the face of a person who for the first time realizes the real tragedy of abortion,
right,
that incarnated in the bodies of those victims.
That's right.
And they'll never be the same again. You know that they'll never be the same again. And it's a very profound moment to be able to observe that happening in other people.
Well, you know, Monica,
that's why
one reason we have to take these pictures out to the public. And I know some people are very upset. We go out on the highways with the graphic side,
yep,
many of yours, and we're deciding now to select our pictures only from your collection. And we're going to be using them, blown up to a 5x3 size and go out on the streets, because people have to see what this country does to its posterity. And you've done that so well through the years with your, going out on the truth tours with us and having your own
right.
truth tours. And then in your book, you do have the graphic pictures in the book, and I think they're...
Yeah, there's abortion victim photos are right. in the book, which, again, I give St. Benedict Press a lot of praise. It's a beautiful book. I mean, they spared no expense. It's a beautifully done book. It feels nice in your hands. So you're going to have something to look forward to, Joe, when your book comes out, because they do a beautiful job. And they have 16 color photos in the book, 8 of them are photos of abortion victims that we, the actual babies that we took out of the trash and the babies that we photographed, all the way from 7 weeks gestational age through the six months gestational age. So there's quite a range there, a selection of the victims. And then there's 8 photos that, they're photos of our work, people getting arrested and demonstrations that we performed, and all the rest of it are in the book.
It's fabulous.
They did a beautiful job.
Just a wonderful job. Yeah, they are good, and they're easy to work with. I've been talking to Christopher off and on, and they have all my manuscript now and are very just like their next door, even though we are out in North Carolina somewhere. But would you say, tell us something too, Monica, about the burial of these babies, if this was
right.
a real event.
We spent a lot of our time, sadly, I got to say, in the funeral business. In 1988, our group, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, Joe, we teamed up with you
sure.
at the Pro-Life Action League, and between the two groups, we found out that a pathology lab in Northbrook, Illinois, was basically being used as a dumping ground for the victims of abortion from abortion clinics all over the United States were sending the bodies to this pathology lab. And so we found out about it, and we spent 10 months of the year of 1988 making our midnight treks to that loading dock and retrieving the bodies of the victims of abortion. And we had, after that 10 months, we had accumulated over 5,000 bodies.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of abortion victims, even though it's just a mere, fraction of the babies that actually have been killed. But, you know, that meant we had to arrange for their burials. And so we spent a lot of our time in 1988 doing precisely that. And, you know, I got to say, ideally, each one of those babies should have had maybe their own funeral, you know, because it would have honored the individuality of each one of those children. But on the other hand, I felt there was something appropriate that some, you know, babies were buried together.
Yes.
Because they were aborted together.
Right.
They shared the same suffering together. And it was a sign, in a way, those mass graves are the indictment against our nation for allowing this atrocity to happen. That there are actual mass graves of aborted babies as a consequence of the Roe versus Wade decision.
Well, you know, Eric and the group got together and with you, and as you know, and we went, we tried to have memorial services all over the country at these grave
sites. Right, the National Day of Remembrance is now well established. It happens the second Saturday of September. We intend for it to be a national event. Of course, it is a national event, but an annual, it would happen every year, that we honor the dead, the victims of abortion, and that's all they're ever going to get, are those memorial services. The only thing they ever got in this life was a burial. These are the rejected, abandoned children of our great injustice, and we really need to key in, to be very aware of that injustice, and those graves are the evidence of that injustice. And one of the things we did do, even though we weren't going to have, we would still be burying the babies, if we did individual burials for every single one of them, but we decided that we would give the bodies of the babies back to the pro-lifers in the cities where those babies had been aborted. And we knew where they were aborted because the boxes on the loading dock that we were retrieving had the return labels. These were shipped through parcel post, and they had the return labels on the boxes of the abortion clinics where those babies had been aborted. So we gave them back to the pro-lifers in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Fargo, North Dakota, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Wilmington, Delaware, and Fairfield, New Jersey. Those are the cities right off the top of my head.
Right.
So mass graves. They had their burials in those cities for those babies, and they were mass graves because we're talking hundreds and hundreds of bodies from these particular clinics.
And here in Chicago,
that's part of the abandoned whole story,
right,
of the abortion wars.
I was so glad that here in Chicago we were able to have the burial with a mass said by then Cardinal Joseph Bernardin.
Oh, yeah, I talk about that in the book in great detail.
Right, two large caskets, and went during the memorial ceremony, we went out to Queen of Heaven Cemetery and visited those graves and had our memorial mass, or not a mass, but we did have Cardinal George come out and speak to us.
Right.
And we have a beautiful double tombstone there for the babies because there were two caskets full. I think we had about 1,000 babies in each casket. And we had a big turnout. And you had one in, did you go
we
to
had,
one in
yeah,
Milwaukee?
Yeah, we actually had three memorial services in the Detroit area because there are three graves of aborted babies within an hour of Detroit.
Yes.
And in fact, one of them is actually in Detroit because it's at the baby's grave at Assumption Grotto Parish in Detroit. So we were pretty busy, I have to say, on the National Day of Remembrance. And then there was another memorial service in Lansing, Michigan. There are two graves of aborted babies at the St. Joseph Cemetery in Lansing, Michigan. But that's, you know, that's the truth and the sadness of our national crime, and Abandoned really wants to rip the veil off, Joe, and really tell the truth. I mean, so many people ask me, Monica, why did you write this book? Well, I know it sounds kind of, I don't know, maybe facile, but I wrote the book to tell the truth.
Yeah.
To expose the reality and to help people see, you know, the victim of abortion, I hope the victim of abortion is the main character of that book. It's not me, it's not you, it's not other pro-lifers doing whatever it was that we did, because there's plenty of that. I mean, this book is full of action and full of drama, but I really hope that the real main character of Abandoned is the victim of abortion.
Well, that certainly comes through, Monica, and even the cover of the book, you've used one of the photos,
yes.
But it actually is a very appealing hand reaching out. Even though
right, that baby was one of the babies retrieved from the VitalMed loading dock,
right.
Featured on the front cover. And again, St. Benedict Press had the guts to do that. I mean, it's not a real graphic image, but it's, I would say, certainly disturbing.
Oh yes,
it's a disturbing cover. And I got to say, Abandoned is not a walk in the park. Okay, this, you know, it's certainly rated PG-13, if not rated R. I mean, this is a lot of. You know, there's a lot of a gravitas that I'm talking about in this book. So it certainly isn't sugarcoating anything.
Well, the people that want to get it, and I'm sure there are many listeners who would like to have the book, what would you?
It's easy to get. You can just go to St. Benedict Press, their website, or go, Amazon has it. And our website, which is ProLifeSociety.com, so I'll say it again, pro-life, all one word, pro-life, can't even speak, ProLifeSociety.com, and there's a link right there on the homepage. You have to be blind not to see it, right there at the top of the homepage. The book is very, very easy to get.
Yeah, and they can get it from our office. We have a lot of them because we use it as, you know, to as a gift to people that send us money, because
right.
it is such a document of what's happened in our country in the past 42 years. And so, Monica, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you're very, very busy, and we first got you in your car, and now have you at your home. But this is kind of
new. Joe, I can never say no to you. So
no.
It's my honor. So
well, we'll be on again, and I'll call you again sometime. But I do want to get together. We have a lot in common, and we've had so much. We've suffered together. We've had good times together, but we've suffered together because we experienced the abandonment of our children and the abandonment of God in this country.
Yeah.
It really is
right.
Sad when you see so many people who don't believe in anything except the moment they're living. And there's so much more to life and so much more to our religion. You know, this is a Catholic program. Most of our listeners probably are Catholic. And we have such a great gift in having the sacraments and having the truth.
Right.
And, you know, I just thank God every day that He's given us the faith that makes us see these realities. See, abortion is just nothing to so many people. But it's touched you, it's touched me, it's touched many of our listeners, I hope all of them. That we have to change this country. We have to come back to a respect for life and a belief in God.
Well, I totally agree with that, Joe. And a lot of people have told me that my book has caused them to be motivated to do things, to go past their own little comfort zones, and to really get involved in ending the killing of the unborn. I hope that is what the book will do, that it really will arouse people to do something and to be involved in this pro-life struggle.
Well, there is a change coming. I don't know if you see it much. I see a change. When we go out on the streets, for instance, people give us much more of the victory sign and keep up the good work.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Yes, I would agree with that too, Joe.
Well, thanks again, Monica. I'm sorry our program's over. It's been a delight having you on. Monica Migliorino-Miller, the author of Abandon, the best pro-life book out today. God bless you all, and goodbye from Joe Scheidler. See you next week.